You are listening to Embodied People, a podcast co-hosted by Sarah Donahue and myself, Colleen Wall. We are both somatic movement educators and dance professors. We are also faculty at Integrated Movement Studies. In this podcast, we explore all things embodied. We explore anatomy, we explore meaning, metaphor, and how we make sense of out of our lives through our bodies. We also talk about developmental motor patterning, how it affects our psychological and emotional and psychic states as adults. And we really love to offer you movement practices and meditations that deepen your experience of your body so that your body is a generative place for you in your life. That is, it helps guide you towards and supports you in living the life that is most fulfilling for you. This podcast is sponsored by Integrated Movement Studies, and that is a certification program in the Laban-Bartynieff Movement Studies system. And if you'd like more information on Integrated Movement Studies and what the Laban-Bartynieff system is, beyond what we offer in this podcast, you can check out our website, imsmovement.com. This week's Embodied People podcast takes a slightly different tact. In this week, I interviewed Madigan Lynch. Madigan is a CLMA, that is, she is a certified Laban movement analyst through Integrated Movement Studies. So she graduated from the certification program that Sarah and Aaron and I teach in and run. That was founded by Janice Meaden, Peggy Hackney, and Pam Schick. Just a couple names that I think you're going to start hearing more on the podcast, so I wanted to put them out there. But this is an interview with Madigan. Madigan graduated in our 2021-2022 certification program. And Madigan did a really interesting application project on working with people at their jobs in movement. And then she transferred those skills to working with the Ithaca Ballet, so ballet dancers who dance for the Ithaca Ballet Company. And what I'm getting at is that the certification program in the Laban-Bartynieff Movement Studies work, it's not necessarily like we are teaching you necessarily techniques. Like, we're not teaching you to be a ballet teacher. We're teaching you a really broad perspective on human movement with very specific details about what you're looking at, how you're describing it, how you're working with it. And then it is in your hands to apply your learning to however it is that you study and look at movement. And while there are some techniques, we do have values around body connectivity, and we teach Laban scales in the different platonic solids. Really, the impetus is your creative learning process. It's your use of this material in a way that sheds light on the worlds in which you already exist, on what it is that you're already interested in. So you can bring new knowledge, new understandings, and new ways of moving and being with that material. And so it's with that that I want to kick off this interview that I did back in July with Madigan. And, you know, I know this is a little different, but I think it's worth listening to. Madigan is incredibly articulate. She's so darn smart. And I just think it's another way to understand or make sense out of what it is that we're doing with this podcast and the values that we at IMS have for the Laban-Bartynieff work. So it's with that, let's hear from Madigan. Hi, Madigan. I'm here today with Madigan Lynch. And Madigan is an alum from Integrated Movement Studies and graduated in the last certification program. And today we're going to just be having an informal conversation about the work that Madigan has been doing with the Ithaca Ballet, using skills and knowledge that she developed through Integrated Movement Studies. So Madigan, will you get us started with locating yourself in the world, sort of who you are, your background, and your interests?
Yeah, of course. My name is Madigan Lynch. I have been working for the past year with Ithaca Ballet. I grew up a dancer training with them and then danced in college at Hobart and William Smith, where I studied movement studies and biology. Right after I graduated from there, I went on to the Integrated Movement Studies program, which I finished last July. And throughout the year that I was at IMS, I kind of took a break from my dancing, which I initially was concerned about. But then following the program, I returned to ballet training and was so grateful for my break from it. I got some really excellent perspective and felt like by moving the curriculum of IMS, I sort of integrated all of these bits and pieces that I had been gathering over the past 12 years of my dance training, and really developed them and made them feel accessible and comfortable in my body. So yeah, that's the past 6 years of my movement education. Now I am kind of on pause again, reflecting and integrating what I've been doing for the past couple years, and trying to hone that into my future, where I want to keep doing what I've been doing for the past year.
So one of the things that I think happens through the integrated movement studies training is that the shift first, the learning happens within us as students, or within you as a student. And then it, whatever happens inside of you and in your learning, then trickles out to the communities in which we apply the learning. And so I'm curious, upon returning to dancing after doing integrated movement studies, how did you, what did you experience change in your dancing? How did you experience your dancing anew within your own self?
I would say the biggest change I noticed was a newfound sense of autonomy and more control and choice present in how my dancing both felt and was manifested externally. There was a new, really satisfying presence of a matured ability to change the quality or the tempo or the emphasis in the dynamics of my movement. And that also brought a new element of it was less hard to dance the way I had been dancing before, less exertional. I wasn't so tired at the end of a class or a performance, because I had learned this new way to exert and recuperate, sometimes by choice, and sometimes it felt like an intuitive response, sort of subconsciously realizing, oh, I have this really challenging, fast phrase coming up, so I'm really gonna slow down and breathe and try and release tension in this 30 seconds I have before that. Much more satisfying in terms of the sensation of dancing, like the emotional and sensation-based joy of moving. People who watched me dance and had known me as a dancer before told me that there was much more precision and maturity in my movement quality, which I felt, and it was beautiful to hear that reflected. It made it so much more fun to be dancing.
You know, hearing you describe this reminds me of the experience is that I had leaving IMS, and still after teaching for IMS, it's still a transformative process. Like I always leave teaching IMS feeling different in my body, and it's like different layers of it. But sometimes the experience for me, I describe it as like, not I'm dancing, just I'm dancing, but like this is me. I am the core of me is present. All of me is present in my dancing, and it feels like a homecoming in myself. And
yeah,
satisfying. There was,
yes, absolutely. There was a union of the sort of psycho-emotional elements of dancing that I really enjoyed, and the kinesiological function of dance and the purely physical sensation. They really came together post-integrated movement studies into, yeah, an expression and a regular embodiment of what felt like full mind-body experience.
So I imagine that that's in the spirit, or is the spirit that you brought to your work with other dancers at Ithaca Ballet. So can you talk about that work that you did with other dancers this past year?
Totally. Yeah, so the company there is largely a student company. A lot of the dancers are between the ages of 14 and 18. And they all seemed to be at this peak moment of, I am learning my body and my brain and how those interact with dance training and dance performance. Yeah, and my experience of like, oh, this is such a fantastic body-mind roller coaster was definitely at the center of what I wanted to share and teach to the company, but also really wanted to meet the dancers where they were at. And a lot of them were fixated on injury prevention, on technical virtuosity. And I value those goals and wanted to help them meet them. So a lot of my work centered around that. I tried to take nuggets from IMS and translate them in a way that would make them accessible and appealing to the dancers. So one really big thing that I was trying to share with them over and over again and communicate as a really valuable aspect of dance training is the felt experience of moving. And I think it's hard, especially in classical ballet, when the emphasis, depending on the teacher, is really about an image that you can observe. We hear the cue all the time of like, hit the position so you can snap a picture. And yeah, again, I value that, but it seemed like what the dancers really wanted and needed was a way to feel themselves throughout the process of training and performance. And based on the knowledge I have, developing somatic and proprioceptive awareness is maybe the most effective tool for injury prevention and and achieving technical virtuosity, because you can feel what your body needs and where it's getting stuck, where it has freedom to do more. So usually what my day-to-day there would look like is I would go take class with the company and would be observing as I was dancing. A lot of the time I would sort of try on observations and embody them myself to get a little sneak peek into themes in the room for the other dancers. And then in breaks or after class would talk to a dancer or two and ask them what they were noticing. I would have an observation in mind, but open the conversation with, hey, when you do this, how does it feel? Sometimes the dancers would be frustrated and say, oh, like I keep trying to do it and I just can't. Or, you know, I want to do three turns and I can only ever do two, or my leg won't go this high on the side that I'm working on. And sometimes they would have some really astute observations about their process and say, oh, well, I feel tension in this part of my body when I'm trying to execute this step. Or like it feels natural in my lower body, but I have no idea what I'm doing with my arms and my head. And then from there, I would work with what they gave back to me. And offer usually a sensation-based cue and say, try this step. And as you're doing it, imagine your pinkies connecting to your scapula, connecting down to your tailbone. And that was a big one that I would give when people were struggling with things like pique arabesque or an attitude turn. Yeah, like limbs into trunk, into pelvis. And people really loved that. I think it brought sensation to something that was so much about an image before. And they would get really excited. They had a new way to look at their training. And it was taking power from the observer and giving it to the individual experiencing it. Yeah.
So I want to jump in because there's three things that I feel like you're talking about that are really unique and important here, but also I think that echo out to the bigger world. And one of them is this like term that you said to feel themselves. And it comes back to the experience that you were describing and I was describing coming out of IMS. And the idea of feeling ourselves doing something in movement, not like almost as though the self can fill out the movement. That to me is part of this idea of embodiment, which is suddenly popular. Like I'm hearing it in the larger pop culture world and people keep talking about embodiment, but it's almost like there's this idea of embodiment, but like not really the tools or the resources to know how to move into what that is. And what you're talking about is, I think, and feeling ourselves moving, that is the seed of embodiment.
Yeah.
It happens in any movement practice, but it also happens in this conversation. Like when I feel into myself moving and having this conversation with you, I feel like I'm embodying it. And as you were talking about it, I could almost feel myself filling myself up more. Yeah, in this moment. And I was like, oh yeah, there it is. And so I think that is a part of a maturing relationship with our bodies. And an yes. embodiment that encompasses the whole of ourselves, not just embodiment in maybe a meditative or more blissful state, but also an embodiment in maybe the grungier parts of life. And then from this part that you're talking about feeling ourselves or embodiment becomes, the getting clearer about what we are doing, which is what you talked about. And I just was thinking about how it feels so good to feel oneself getting better at something physical.
Yeah.
And like, you know, it feels good to buy new clothes sometimes. And it feels good to like pay the bills. But probably, I think for me, one of the best feelings in life is feeling myself getting more cogent or more coherent. Yeah. At something I'm pursuing physically. And just last night I was pulling bird's nests out of my soffits on the side of the house. And I was I was using my drill on a ladder, but to feel myself feeling like it was easier to carry a ladder and I was better at using a drill, like all of it actually felt awesome. And so it's in so many parts of our life that I think that these ideas translate to. And then I think the last thing I just want to say about everything you're talking about is that what you're talking about are these movement coaching sessions that they're not exactly physical therapy. They're not exactly personal training. They're not exactly massage, but they integrate multiple aspects of these different worlds to be a session for coaching human movement that really brings the embodiment into the getting better at something through all of our tools. And I just want to give that context.
So that's something I really wanted to touch on, no pun intended. But I love using touch as a tool for communicating. And these dancers respond really well to it. I think dance is historically and currently a really touch heavy field. And it's such a useful tool in teaching and revealing whatever is going on in the body to the dancer. They responded really well to it in sessions, either a structured 45-minute one-on-one session or a super casual 5-minute conversation after a class or in a break during a rehearsal. The use of touch seemed revelatory to dancers, especially when it was a kind of touch that they hadn't experienced before. Like, there's a lot of, the artistic director uses a lot of just kind of like poking, bringing awareness to one specific part of the body in terms of muscular engagement. And I tried to diversify the kind of touch that I was using. Sometimes it was like, stand with your hand pressed against a wall, and I'm going to stand on the other side of you, and you're going to push on both at the same time. And it's going to come all the way from your tailbone out your scapula. You're going to be super grounded into your core, and you're going to have this like radial push out from those two hands. That was seemed to be a big moment for some of the dancers, because they could feel that they have power from a place that they didn't know they had it. And also really gentle touch was useful. Touch that illuminated pathways and the relationship between parts of the body. I did a lot of, a big theme of my work with them was connecting distal points into core. So touch that's tracing the lower kinetic chains of the body, heel to sits bone touch, like two big toes up the medial border of the leg, lesser trochanters up through the psoas to the spine, revealed that there is connection between these points. And I noticed that some dancers I worked with using that kind of connective touch, their lines got longer and they seemed to have this new sense of expansion from the center and like a continual line of energy out through the distal point as is supported from the core.
Yeah, so center supports outward, like a core supported movement. That does seem like, you know, when I think about ballet, there is the like image of what it looks like that you started this conversation with. But then what I think makes a good or virtuosic or satisfying ballet dancer to watch is movement that is supported from the center out, that it feels coherent and, and like it's, yeah, like it's true. It's supported from a deep center. And that's a really not a common thing to teach through the steps of ballet. That has to come in some other way. And it sounds like that's one of the ideas that you were noticing was a gap, but that if you could bring that in to the steps that already exist and the education that already exists, then you were teaching them to fill out the movement in the way that makes ballet dancing something exciting and riveting and also more physically possible.
And that inspires kinetic empathy from the viewer. I love going to see a performance where, because of the experience of the dancer that I'm watching, I am inspired to move and I'm wiggling in my seat and breathing with them. And I think that that comes from a dancer being truly invested in a bunch of ways, feeling the movement. It feels like a state of passion.
So Madigan. Go ahead.
Just coming back to the touch thing briefly, one thing I found was really helpful in exploring patterns of stability and mobility, which I think is a huge theme in ballet performance and training. Gooey releasing touch was really helpful in helping dancers figure out how to do less and to release muscular tension in places where it was not necessary. There's a lot of language around working hard and doing more in ballet, trying to maximize rotation, trying to stretch yourself as long as you possibly can. And I have not heard a lot of conversation around where to do less. So using touch, and I found myself using my own breath as I was using that touch to release and yield and give into gravity and let muscles kind of melt away from this point of tension.
I think that is, we have this image of ballet as really vertical and erect and hard work. And while that is, I think, part of the identity of the form, in order to accomplish that, in order to actually have efficiency, there has to be release and support and softness in the places that need to have that to allow the full expression and expansion in other places. And that requires a real sensitivity to the dynamism that moves throughout the body, the dynamisms of stable and mobile. So maybe one side is grounded and stable and soft to support the quick mobility of the other side. And something complex like a pirouette or the petit allegro, so the quick, tiny movements, jumping movements, that requires so much shifting of that kind of movement.
And the presence of polarities in movement make it so beautiful to watch. It is riveting when you are watching a dancer embody two contrasting qualities at the same time, even if it's 3 seconds of, this really strong bound rigidity in one part of the body with a total easy, gooey, fluid movement in another part of the body. It makes for killer performance.
That can't stop. All right, so my next question for you is, I know that your time with Ithaca Ballet is coming to a close.
For now,
yeah. I don't think it's really over. But if you were to imagine or dream into the next places this work would take you, what's the wish or the dream you have for this work in your heart? Where would you like to see it blossom?
I want to keep working with dancers. My dream of dreams is to be working in-house with a company and occupy two roles simultaneously that intersect and support each other. One of those roles would be as a class or rehearsal assistant, largely observational, so I can gather data on themes that are present, on qualities that a choreographer is asking for that the company is struggling to embody or are new for them. And then the other role would be as a touch for neuromuscular repatterning practitioner, and do one-on-one sessions with the dancers to get more specific about their goals and experiences for their training and performance. Yeah.
I really love your vision for this position. It's a little bit like an in-house physical therapist. And it's a little bit like this term I made up that I think people use now, choreoturg, like a dramaturg, but a choreoturg. Yes. But you're not necessarily working with the choreography. It's more like a performaturg. So you're like the performance coach, and you deal with, I think, the psychosomatic presence. And so I'm using my hands in a way that reflects one of the touch facilitations that we often do at IMS, but like that uses touch and movement and psychosomatic coaching to bring the dancers into a wholeness in their bodies in a way that's not mechanical in a way PT often is, but enlivens the expressive and embodied presence that they bring into their dancing. And of course that then physically supports them, and it helps with injury prevention, and it helps with it recovery as well. So I think that vision, like it's out there, it's needed.
I know, growing up a dancer and working with Ithaca Ballet, I feel like it is so needed, and that the potential for having someone who can support a company in that way in terms of what the company can then go do is huge. I think that if I had that in my dance training, I would be really grateful and really well prepared for whatever kind of movement is thrown at me or I want to do.
Yeah. And I think when I think about going back to what audiences, what it's like to watch dance, when I watch dance, where I feel like the performers are really in themselves, physically and emotionally present, it's riveting, it's touching, it transcends like a human experience.
Yeah.
And technicians that are just technicians, like I can be interested for a minute or two, but it doesn't transcend me. It doesn't take me somewhere new.
Yeah. You want the emotional story and for the dancer to communicate their lived experience through movement. Yeah.
And that's what you're bringing to the fore. So Madigan, I'm going to bring this to a close by asking you, well, first, is there anything else you feel like needs to be said for this to be complete for you?
Part of my dream for my work and for dancers at large is to have choice in what you perform. I think about the trend and phenomenon in the dance world of having people who are specialists in one area. Like, this person is a jumper, this person is a turner, this person is the queen of adagio, and that people live in that place that is familiar to them and are cast in that place. And I would love to bring the possibility of learning to be a jack of all trades and learning to love that. Of course, we will always have our favorite things. Teaching people that through experimentation and new sensations, there is more possibility, and you can absolutely do it, and you are not just this way. So yeah, I think it's really empowering and freeing to learn that you are capable of moving in new ways.
Yeah. Yeah. To feel yourself expanding as a mover. It's like feeling like the self expanding. I feel like they are related. So with that, Madigan, this is like an embodied PSA, public service announcement, but I'd love to close with you sharing your movement dream for the world in a way that I, as a listener, could hear it and sort of chew on it for the rest of the day.
Yeah. I would say go find something that activates a response in some way. Go watch some movement, a video clip or whatever, some public movement event that elicits a emotional or somatic response of some kind, and try it on and get in that movement and feel what it has to offer you. Maybe it gets you really riled up. Maybe it's super regulating. Maybe you're watching a cat sleeping and you can see its breath really clearly. And when you try that on, you're like, oh my God, I'm ready for a nap. I am ready. Yeah, yeah. See what the movement has to offer you. That's one. Try on something that when you watch it, it makes you feel something, a little spark. For people who are invested in some kind of movement practice right now, I would say take it out of context in some way. My dancer example is take a phrase that you're learning or an exercise that you're working on and do it lying on the floor, or do it really, really slowly and with as little muscular tension as you can.
This past weekend, I think it's okay to share this. It connects to both of them. I was at like a family vacation, and I was playing in the pool with some kids, and had them, one of them on my shoulders as I did my imagined different scenes of the Nutcracker. So I was like doing the Russian dance and the waltz of the snowflakes in the pool in a bathing suit with the kid on my shoulders. And the fun of doing the Nutcracker in a pool with a 9-year-old backpack. And the feeling of both weight and buoyancy. I don't know, it was just, there was both the taking it out of context, but also, the physicality and play of it, and to feel like I knew something. I didn't have to know it great, but I knew it well enough. Anyway, it was totally joyous. So
doing it as another character, doing it as somebody other than yourself, has a lot to offer.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. I had one more thing and now I'm blanking. Oh, just center the way it feels. Pay attention to that in any movement endeavor, in walking your dog, in, sweeping the floor, in going rock climbing, or whatever movement you do or enjoy. Drop in to the sensate experience of it for a little while. And return to that as often as you think of it.
Yeah, drop into the sensate experience of it. Fill out, feel yourself, fill it out. And as we've been talking here today, I felt myself doing it. And that just, the feeling of coming back home into myself as we're talking. And so I think that it's, we can go out into the world all over and explore movement. Movement fills our world. And there's a great curiosity about that. And then we can try it on or style stretch to new places. And then, and then coming back home to fill it out with ourselves is one of the, I think, a tremendous gift. So
totally.
Madigan, thank you so much for this conversation today. I really appreciate it. And I think the work you're doing is really important. It's really good. It's really special. So thank you very much.
Of course. Anytime. Bye, guys.